morning, everybody. Good morning on this Tuesday morning. I'm going to go ahead and show you the Bible study, and then I will be back. God bless. Hello, bride. Good afternoon or morning on this Tuesday. Today we are finishing up Revelation chapter 13, and this is actually part 3 to it. So let's go ahead and pray and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you so much for illuminating your word to us, Lord. We thank you that you are helping us to understand this book. And your word says that those that read this book will be blessed. So Lord, we just thank you and give you praise for your word. We pray today, Lord, that you will be high and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, bride. Now, right now, we are covering the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the beast. And so, where we left off yesterday is where it says, if any man has an ear, let him hear. Okay, so let's continue. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I believe that God is talking to the church about, you know, are you going to take it into your hands or are you going to trust me? Is really the way that I see that happening, because in this hour, you know, I've showed you guys on the news many times that we are way past the time of using guns. I mean, it's one thing if you're using it to protect your house and everything, but when they come, there's no use, because their technology is drones, robots, AI, satellites. I mean, you know, your only hope there is Jesus. So I believe this is what they're saying. If you kill with the sword, you're going to be killed with the sword. You know, we just have to know when our time is, type of deal. But when it also says the patience and the faith of the saints is the persecution, you know, because in our natural carnal mind, we want to defend ourselves. We want to get out there and rally and fight, you know, the way it was 2019 and back when we actually had a say in things. But now we're past that point. And so this is where we have to have faith and patience that the Lord is going to get revenge in his own time. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. This is artificial intelligence. And this speaking is in every language now, and it is like the one world religion as well, because it brings everything together to where everyone can communicate in their own language. Remember when they did the Tower of Babel and God said, I've got to break this up, because if they all speak the same language, nothing will be held back from them. And that's what I believe the World Wide Web is used for. And so coming up out of the earth is the artificial intelligence computer created by man. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. This is where it's going to cause people to worship Trump, the head, whose deadly wound was healed. And we're seeing it already, you know, with Trump's name going on everything. He just put them on the passports, got coins, and all this other stuff. But in the future, if there is an unaliving event, the I can imagine, you know, that it would do some type of homage and force everybody, you know, to be a part of honoring him or something like that, you know. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Okay, we know what they can do with satellites. We talked about the false prophet. We talked about Elon and the power that he has with the satellites and the, you know, the rockets and all of that. What they can do with lasers and everything else. I mean, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. That is self-explanatory. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many that would not worship that image be killed. I want to explain to you guys again about that image. It does not mean, I don't think, that it's actually going to have an image in front of you of this Antichrist figure and say, bow down now and worship. I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be exactly the way I've been explaining you and exactly the way they're doing it right now. Remember, I explained to you guys in my book called The Image of the Beast. I explained to you what the image is. It's what's in your head. So, like, you know, if you're sitting down with a stranger and you say, you know, what do you think is happening right now? Like, say if I was in a coma for 10 years and I woke up and I'm talking to my cousin. And I say, cousin, what is going on in the world? Okay. How she describes that is the image I'm believing, or my cousin is believing. That's the image. It's what is in your head of a picture. So if she paints a picture like, oh man, we're going in the golden age. This is awesome. There's so much prosperity out there. Businesses are booming. The stock market's rising. You know, we're taking over all these countries. Oh, it's just so great, man. America is just doing so great. See, this is an image that she is believing, okay? But there's also another image. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something, cousin. This is the end, man. I tell you, the Antichrist is on the scene. He is taking over the world. He actually started a board of peace, where he is actually the head, and now he's even over the United Nations. And I'd be like, what? This is really happening right now? Isn't that all supposed to happen during tribulation time after we have the rapture and everything? Well, I'm telling you, it's right now. And we're all still here. Oh, no, you know, because now you're thinking you're going to have to suffer, see? But that's the image. What is it that you're believing? Because your life choices that you're making right now is based upon that image. And the image should speak and cause, which is the artificial intelligence. Now, some people do believe, let me go back to that. This, on another hand, some people could believe that this would be like a either virtual reality, like that one Revelation movie portrays it, is that everybody has on VR glasses and you go into this virtual reality world and you're standing before the Antichrist. And you have to confess right there in front of him with nobody else around whether you're going to serve him or not. It's a choice inside your heart. So that could be another version as well. Another theory, rather. And according to that movie, if you did not bow to him in the virtual reality, you were killed right there. And you had your head cut off, and then in the real earth, you died. You know, they would think or whatever, you had a heart attack, but in the thing, you actually died type of deal. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Okay, there's many different theories about this. What is the mark? What is the hand or the forehead? You know, many years we thought it was going to be putting this chip inside the hand or inside the forehead, which we know now Elon is putting chips in people's heads. We know people are getting chips in their hands, so that is out there. But we've also discovered since then what CRISPR technology is and how the DNA helix is a right-handed helix. Okay? So it goes, there it is, your right hand. So if it's in your right hand, they cut part of your DNA of the right hand and they insert their coding. So there you go, they receive the mark. That's one theory. Then in their foreheads is where they're stubborn and stiff-necked and they want to do things their way type of deal. But notice how it says he causes all, small and great, rich and poor, homeless or millionaires, free and bond, to receive this. So many people as well believe that it's the jab and it brings it in and it slices up your true life story, your DNA, which is the book of life. It's the document, it's the computer board that's on the inside of every human. And it documents everything you've done and said, motives and all. So when they cut it out, they're cutting up your book. And they're inserting their new code, which now attaches you to the system. That's one theory. The other theory is later on they're going to inject RFID chips. They're going to put Elon's chip in your brain. You know, that type of literal. So let me read you something that gives a good thing of this. Okay. They're saying that this guy named Bill wrote this. I don't know who he... Oh, here it is. G.K. Bill. B-E-A-L-E. From the UK. He wrote this in 2015. The mark on the forehead, which is the name of the beast, or the number of his name, is the parody of and the opposite to the seal in Revelation 7, verse 3 to 8, which is the divine name written on the foreheads of true believers, 14, verse 1. So likewise, chapter 22, verse 4, since the seal or name on the true believer is invisible, so is the mark on the unbeliever. That the two are of a parallel spiritual nature and intended to be compared is evident from immediately following mention of the names of God and Christ written on the foreheads of the saints. Believers are protected by the power of Christ's name, which is his presence with them. They may suffer and even die, yet they will receive the ultimate reward of eternal life. Revelation 20, verse 4. Unbelievers may receive temporary prosperity, but will be punished ultimately with eternal death. Revelation 14, 9 through 11. The mark may also connotate that the followers of Christ and the beast both are stamped with the image or character of their respective leader. Boy, we see that happening today, don't we? I've told people that attack me, I tell them, you sound just like your father. It could be the character. That the mark of the name is figurative and not literal. It is evident from the picture of the beast who has written on his head's blasphemous names, which figuratively connotate false claims to earthly divine kingship. Likewise, the point of saying that worshippers of the beast have his name written on their foreheads is to underscore the fact that they pay homage to his blasphemous claims to divine kingship. In the Old Testament, God told Israel that the Torah was to serve as a sign to you on your hand and as a reminder on your forehead in order to remind them continually of their commitment and loyalty to God. Exodus 13:9. The New Testament equivalent is the invisible seal or name of God on the forehead represents ideological commitment, and the hand, the practical outworking of that commitment. In other words, the hand represents works. Likewise, as a travesty is the signs of membership in the Old Testament community of faith, the beast marks on the forehead and the hands of the worshipers refer to their loyal, consistent, and wholehearted commitment to him. Wow, that's a good comment. Now, we know that that guy, Revelations of Jesus Christ, he's the one that I believe explained how the DNA is the right hand. So that's just, you know, some other theories for you to think about. And that no man might buy or sell, and look at the three different categories here, save he that has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So, in order for you to buy or sell, you're going to have the mark that the beast provides, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, there is a commentary I'd like to read you about that. Hold on here. Okay. The mark of God on the forehead mentioned in Revelation 7:3 and 14:1 is a symbolic seal identifying believers as God's servants. It signifies divine ownership. So it's not an outward appearance. It is a spiritual thing. Protection from spiritual harm and the names of God and the Lamb. Representing a changed mind focused on truth in contrast with the mark of the beast. Okay, key details about the seal of God. Symbolism on the forehead. In Revelation, the forehead represents the mind or intellect, indicating that the mark is a spiritual internal commitment rather than a physical tattoo. Purpose. It acts as a protective mark, identifying people who are spared from spiritual destruction. This is the mark of God. What it includes. The seal is frequently described as the name of the Father and the Lamb, Jesus, written on the forehead. Significance. It denotes ownership, marking individuals as sealed by the Holy Spirit for God's service. In contrast to the mark of the beast, which represents loyalty to a false system, the seal of God identifies those who have been chosen loyalty to God. Okay, here we go. Revelation 13:17 and 18 describes a future or symbolic end-time scenario where an oppressive global power, the beast, controls all economic activity, demanding total allegiance and worship. Those who refuse to worship the beast or its image are barred from buying or selling, effectively cutting them off from daily life. This signifies an absolute economic boycott against those who do not conform. The mark is likely symbolic of ownership or loyalty to the beast, mirroring how believers are sealed by God. It indicates that the economic system is completely aligned with an anti-Christian agenda. Here is wisdom, verse 18. This calls for spiritual discernment and understanding rather than mere mathematical calculations. It challenges believers to see through the deception of the false prophet and the beast. The number of a man, the number 666, is identified as human, not divine. In biblical numerology, 7 is the number of perfection and completion. 6 falls short of 7, and 666 is a triad of sixes. Signifies an intense yet ultimately incomplete and imperfect imitation of the Trinity. 666, this is likely a symbolic representation of all that is anti-God and imperfect. Historically, many have identified this with Caesar, whose name in Hebrew calculates to 666. So let's look over here at this one, because it says, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, is number 666. Now, let me show you all these logos that look like 666. You know, we've talked about these many times. Here's what they say about Fox. On the A, B, C, D, E, F is 6. J, K, L, M, N, O, 6. S, T, U, V, W, X, 6. That, I've never seen anybody do that before, but that's crazy, huh? I've already showed you before the World Economic Forum, the way they do their logo represents 666. Walt Disney has it in there. The monster logo, this is the Hebrew letter for 6, the Hebrew number for 6. The Heineken, and, you know, just all of these. McCormick is real sleek by putting in the Hebrew letters. CERN, of course, you know. So you can see how many of the modern day businesses, and I've showed you many other logos and symbols that actually represent 666. Okay, so key interpretations are, refers to the Roman Empire, Emperor Nero, and the persecution of early Christians. The mark is seen as a symbol of allegiance to the state cult of emperor worship. Futures believes this refers to a literal future Antichrist who will control a global government and mandate a physical or digital mark to buy or sell. But some people believe as symbolic, focuses on the ongoing battle between good and evil, where 666 represents the pinnacle of humanity trying to operate without God. Ultimately, the passage encourages Christians to remain loyal to Jesus. Promises that while the beast will hold immense power, it will be defeated. That is some good stuff. All right, and that's all I have for you today. We have finished Revelation. Yay! We have finished Revelation chapter 13. So I think I had... Where did that go here? Here it is. I wanted to show you this little video here. The Rise of the Antichrist. Let's see how they describe it. Notice it's got a guy saying, unity and peace. All right, let's see. The world longs for peace.
Longs for peace. But the peace that's coming won't come from God. It will come from deception. Revelation 13 warns of a ruler who will rise. Powerful, persuasive, unstoppable. A man who promises unity but demands worship. The question is, will you recognize him when he comes? Revelation 13 paints a chilling picture. A beast rises out of the sea, symbolizing nations, power, and political might. He speaks great things, performs wonders, and deceives many. Through him, the world will unite under one system, one government, one economy, one mark. It will look like progress. A global solution to war, famine, and chaos. People will celebrate the new order, believing it's the dawn of peace.
Wow.
But beneath the surface lies spiritual slavery. The Antichrist will not come wearing horns or bearing fangs. He will come as a savior, a symbol of hope in desperate times. He will charm the world, blending religion, technology, and power into one false promise of salvation. Revelation 13, 16 to 17 tells us, He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark. This is not science fiction. It's prophecy. And every headline, every crisis, every digital advancement brings us one step closer to that reality. Yet even in this darkness, there is hope. Because for every counterfeit, there is truth. For every false savior, there is the true king. Jesus Christ, he alone holds the power to save, to redeem, to restore. The Antichrist may rise, but his end is already written. Heavenly Father, in a world filled with deception, anchor our hearts in your truth. Give us discernment to recognize falsehood and courage to stand firm in faith. Strengthen us to endure, to trust, and to follow you.
Yes.
For you alone are faithful and true. In Jesus' name, amen. The world may
be changing,
but God's truth remains unshaken.
Amen. That's really good. Okay, guys, you have a wonderful weekend. And to all you mothers, happy Mother's Day. All right, guys. All right. I hope you enjoyed it. I would like to hear some feedback from you guys about if you was able to hear that really good, or did you have like some breakup and stuff? Let me get you guys over here where I can look at you. Very good. So talk to me. Was it good or what? It went very well. That's good. Look at my hair. It looks like a skunk. The stripe right in the middle, the black stripe. No breaking up. See? Thank you. Well, this is how I'm going to have to do it. It's just pre-upload the meat of it and then just be live with you where we can talk and whatnot. So I pray everybody's doing well, and I pray you have a very good Mother's Day. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the gray is definitely the wisdom, but the black stripe in the middle is crazy, huh? Oh, I got a funny story to tell y'all. This morning on the prayer call, Mom, we call this lady, her name is Mama D. You'll see her in the chat in here, named Dorothy. I don't know if she's in here. Let me see. Okay, I don't see her in here. She is in here. Okay, she's just not chatting. Well, this lady, we call her Mama D. So she follows everything. The Bible studies, the news and everything. And so she's learning. She is. She even went to my Bible college. So she knows all this stuff about logos and stuff. And she's 80 years old. So the other day at her church, they were saying something, and she was letting them know how the cow ate the cabbage. Boy, she was telling them, oh, no, you don't want to do this. I know all about this technology. Let me just tell you. Oh, she had us laughing so hard this morning because she was letting the church know she is all on this, and she knows what's going on. She knew more than her pastor knew. So anyways, she's always asking me, like, is this good? Is this not? You know, so she can learn about, like, when they send her stuff. Because she lives in this building, you know, that's a very nice building, probably a smart building, you know, like an assisted living. And so they're always texting them about stuff and putting stuff in the lobby, you know, that they're trying to sell or whatnot. But because she knows logos, and she knows what the beast is doing, she's able to make really good decisions. Much less, she's a very prophetic woman. I mean, God gives her dreams and he'll tell her. You know, one night she had a dream. Now, she has a grandson that lives with her. I think he's in his young 20s. But she had a dream one night that some man was at the door and that he come in and tried to rape her. So she woke up and told her grandson, said, if anybody knocks on that door today, do not answer the door. And so sure enough, somebody came to the door and knocked this man. And they looked through the peephole, saw it was a man. She goes, don't open that door. See, God saved her. I mean, she's a really amazing woman. Tabitha said, I love hearing her tell things like ChatGPT and stuff. It's so funny. It is funny. But all the stuff that you guys learn, you know, you can help other people and stuff. So let me read you guys something. This is an encouraging word. Let me go back over here. Where is it at? It's in Psalms. I want to read you guys something this morning. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. But I acknowledged my sin unto you, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found, because surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh to him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye, but be not as the horse or as the mule, which has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. Isn't that good? Isn't that a good word? Well, I do want to tell you guys this before I get off here, because I have a dentist appointment this morning. Our women's retreat is actually a women's conference now. I'm blowing this up. I've rented a conference hall, and we're going to have two days of conference that we're going to open up to the public here locally. And we're going to preach the gospel, and then all of you that come will be able to minister to the locals here. And so we're going to invite them to a women's conference, okay? And it's still going to be all free. And I got my best friend. She's going to be the other speaker, and I'm so excited about it. I'm excited for us that have been learning and sowing and praying together to be able to give back to the community, to the world. And so we're going to do this June 5th through the 7th. Now, we will go swimming and we will have bonfires here at the house. And you will still be able to see all the animals and stuff like that. It's going to be an awesome time. And we just had we had 14 new babies born, new chickens from our incubator. And so we have 14 new babies. We have 7 teenage chickens that are 2 weeks old. And then we have the 14 big chickens. So we're growing and we're going to keep our incubator going so that we can hopefully get 10 new chicks every 3 weeks is what we're hoping. So anyways, y'all will be able to see all this when you come and be able to spend time together and stuff. So, but that's all I have for you guys today. And let me pray for you. Let's all pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for our time together. And Lord, I thank you for all these women. Lord, all their journeys, all their stories, all the things that they're living through in their life, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that you have went before them and you have prepared the way. I thank you, God, that you have made them with a comforter, with someone that they can trust with their children, with their spouse, with their family members. Someone, Lord, that they can lean upon in times of trouble. Like your word just said, surely in the floods of great waters, people won't find you. But to the bride, they lean upon you, Lord. You are their rock. You are their support. And I thank you for that. God, I pray you fill everybody with peace and joy. And I pray, Lord, that you make their crooked paths straight. And I pray too, Lord, that you give them a hunger and thirst after righteousness more than they've ever known. Oh, how we worship you today, Lord, and how we lift you up, for you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. Well, y'all have a good day today. The Weir Hatchery, that is a good one. That is a good one. I told Dennis we could sell them. He said, no way, we're going to fill our freezer. So, and the thing is about our chickens is they're all organic. You know what I mean? That's the good thing. But at least now we know how to do how to hatch the eggs. So I'm excited about that. All right. Well, you guys have a good day and pray for me as I go to the dentist. And then tomorrow I go to get a partial in the front, get fit for a partial. Yes, freezer first for sure. All right, y'all have a good day. God bless.